let us look to the Lord for a moment. Loving Heavenly Father, Father of our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we thank Thee for the infinite love that has been offered full and free to each of us. We would thank Thee especially for everyone, wherever they are, whatever nationality, whatever part of the world, that put his or her trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that there will be a vast army. We'll come back with our Lord. Be one that has put their trust in the Lord. And ultimately will be judgment. Resurrection of the lost. Father, we pray that there might be no one here that will be in that group. No second chance after that takes place. Lord, to say the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin afterwards. Now as we open Thy Word, we just trust that Thou would open the spiritual minds and the hearts of each and every one here, speaker and hearer alike. It might be a message from Thyself, both speaker and hearer again, that we might be able to rejoice in the wonders and the truth of Thy Word. We ask in His name and for His sake. Amen. Let us turn in our Bibles to the book of the Acts and the 21st chapter, I believe. All right, let us begin with the first verse. And it came to pass that after we were parted, implies actually wrenched, pulled away from them, had put to sea, we came with a straight course unto Cos, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from there unto Patara. And finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now when we had sighted Cyprus, we left it on the left, and sailed into Syria, and landed at Tyre, where there the ship was to be unloaded of her cargo. And finding disciples, and the implication is there, they went out and found them, and searched for the disciples. We tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. When we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way. And they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we knelt down on the shore and prayed. When we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. When we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Bromelias and greeted the brethren and abode with them 1 day. The next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came to Caesarea. We entered into the house of Philip, the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had 4 daughters, virgins, who did prophesy. As we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. When he was come unto us, he took Paul's belt, or girdle, and bound his own hands and feet, and said, Thus saith the Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this belt, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, we both we and they that of that place besought him not to go to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he could not be persuaded, we ceased saying, The will of the Lord be done. We ceased saying, The will of the Lord be done. And after those days, we took up our baggage or luggage and went up to Jerusalem. There went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Mnason of Cyprus, an early disciple, with whom we should lodge. When we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. The day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when we had greeted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are who believe, and they are all zealous of the law. And they are informed of thee that thou teachest all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. What is it, therefore? The multitude must come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Do therefore this, that we say unto thee, We have four men who have a vow on them. Them take and purify thyself with them, and pay their expenses, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things of which they were informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law. It is touching the Gentiles who believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing except only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols and from blood, from things strangled and from fornication. Then Paul took the men, the next day purifying himself with them, entered into the temple, signified the accomplishment of the days of purification, until an offering should be offered for every one of them. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews who were at Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up the multitude and laid hands on him, crying out, Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law, and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple, and hath polluted this holy place. For they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus, an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul, and drew him out of the temple, and that once the doors were closed or shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and soldiers, they ceased beating Paul. Then the chief captain came near and took him, and commanded him to be bound with two chains, and demanded who he was and what he had done. And some cried one thing, and some another among the multitude. And when they could not know for certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the barracks or castle. And when he came upon the stairs, so it was that he was borne on the shoulders of the soldiers because of the violence of the people. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying, Away with him! As Paul was to be led up into the barracks, he said unto the chief captain, May I speak unto thee? He said, Canst thou speak Greek? Art not thou that Egyptian who came before these days madest an uproar and ledest out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers? And Paul said, I am a man who is a Jew of Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, permit me to speak unto the people. And when he had given permission, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with his hand unto the people. And when there was a great silence, he spoke unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, The Lord bless the reading of his precious word. And we see here that Paul is traveling for one purpose, to go to Jerusalem. And we find that here in verse 7, that when they had finished their course of Tyre, they came to Ptolemais, and greeted the brethren and abode with them 1 day. Next day, a day that were in Paul's company, departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip. Now, this was the Philip the evangelist that went down and led the Ethiopian to the Lord, same man. He entered in the house of Philip, the evangelist who was one of the seven and abode with him, and the same had four daughters, virgins, who did prophesy. Now, some would take this to mean that they could speak in the meeting. That doesn't mean that at all. They could speak in the home, or such thing as that. They did not speak where people were gathered. There were men there, women there, yes, who know the word of God, so that they can speak. Women can speak to other women and children. But not if there's men in the group. If there's men in the group, they're to keep silent. That isn't that those women are inferior to the man, or that they know less than the man. That's God's order. And all we have to do is look to these places that are going out of that order, and sooner or later they fall apart, or they have all kinds of problems. We have enough problems without that. So this, they weren't actually speaking in the temple. And as we tarried there many days, there came from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. When he was come unto us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, Thus saith the Holy Spirit, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind a man that owneth this belt or belt, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. What did he say? Did he say that they were to stop or he wasn't to go? He didn't say that at all. He just said that when they go, when he went, he would be bound. He would be delivered into the hands of the Gentiles. He didn't say anything about Paul not going. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go to Jerusalem. I didn't say that the prophet said to him not to go. Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep? And to break mine heart. I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And he was particularly concerned for his own people. You remember in another place, he would rather himself go to hell and his people be saved. But he couldn't do that. Verse 14. When he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying the will of the Lord. They ceased speaking, and then they said, "The will of the Lord be done." You just read that quickly; it almost says that they were saying that. And after those days, we took our baggage and went to Jerusalem. What did he go to Jerusalem for? To see the disciples, and they were carrying goods from other assemblies for their help. Verse 17, When we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And then we come down to verse 25, make it 21. And they were informed of thee as the other Jews. Well, go back to verse 20. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews here there are who believe. What were they saying? No, there are plenty of people today who believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. There are plenty of people that believe that He died to save them. They haven't trusted Him. They haven't put their trust in Him just because they believe it. The Word tells us that what the demons, the devils, believe. They know. If you remember in one place, some of them said, Are you come to cast us into hell as it were already? Those were the ones who never were cast into the swine. But they knew exactly who the Lord Jesus was. And I honestly believe that all the religious leaders knew who he was. The Jewish people believed there were two messiahs. A suffering messiah and a reigning messiah. And they did not want this suffering messiah unless he came to rule. If he would come and defeat the Romans, they'd have accepted him. Couldn't reconcile the fact that these messiahs were one and the same person. He came the first time as a sacrifice. First time he came as a savior. He came to die for you and me. He comes again, he's coming as judge and king. And that is when he sets foot on the earth. He's coming in the air to receive all those that know Christ as savior. He'll be caught up together with them. We'll be gone. the tribulation hits this world, we will not be there. At the end of that 7 years, approximately, we will come back with him, rule in the ring. My brother Joe is already there with him. Young Cornelius is with the Lord. Why did Paul take the risk with his life with such action? Then we find that these the assembly people, those that were saved here in Jerusalem, they would go about to deceive the people. That's what they were doing. And under the circumstances, Paul went along with them, but right or wrong, the Lord used it all to glorify himself. Paul went along with them, and it did not work. These people went into a rage. You know, we can look at what's going on over in the Middle East today. The Jewish people are half-brothers to the Arabs. You see the Arabs going into a rage. The Jewish people have the same nature and they go into the same type of rage. And this is what was taking place here. Now there are some things that I want to go over that have to do with the price that he would pay. Let us turn first to Micah. Little book of Micah. Fifth chapter, start with verse 1. Now gather thyself and troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. And certainly they smote the Lord Jesus Christ on the cheek. Not just once. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, now, there was more than one Bethlehem. And the Lord was so careful to see that the right one was pointed out. There would be no mistake. Though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And then we find that he was sent. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. This was one who went through the universe from past eternity. He becomes a little babe. He could be a man, flesh and blood like you and I. As God, he couldn't die. God, the Father can't die. God, the Holy Spirit couldn't die. God, the Son couldn't die. Until he took that body upon himself. Galatians 4, 4 and 5, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive what? The adoption of sons. He became a man that you and I might be adopted into the family of God. He might be one with himself. And then let us look at Luke. Chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. We're all lost, but we were lost. There's only two types of people in the world. They're both sinners. Saved sinner and the lost sinner. One's going to be with the Lord and the other's going to hell. I think too many times in this day of ours we're a little bit too careful with the words we say. don't offend people. Now, I would rather offend somebody and see them saved in glory, not offend them, and see them in a devil's hell because he patted them on the back and made them think they were all right. That's your job and my job. We're witnesses. We should tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Paul was doing. Paul was ready to lay his life down for the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you? Am I? Are we actually willing to lay our life down for the Lord that others might be saved? And I'd like to look at 1 Corinthians. Corinthians chapter 15. You want to know what the gospel is? Here's the gospel. Beginning at the first verse. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, or the good news, or we might say the great news, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and in which ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. And I believe this is what the case was with most of those Jewish so-called believers. They wanted to mix law and grace together. You can't do it. Verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. It wasn't anything new. That was told to Eve, the seed of the woman. That is the first actual indication of it. The seed of the woman would bruise Satan's head. You can go back even a little farther. And Adam and Eve sinned. And the Lord came down into the garden, speaking with them as he usually did. What were they doing? They were hiding. As far as that, they were happy to walk with the Lord. And they had covered themselves with aprons of fig leaves, or whatever leaves, doesn't make any difference. But what did the Lord do? You'll find your King James that says skins, but it isn't skins. The original is skin. One skin of an animal was used to cover both of them. And what does that indicate? One man paid the price for all of us. All the way back in the Garden of Eden, you see the picture. The Lord put man on this earth. He knew exactly what they would do. He knew exactly what he would do and when he would do it. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at one time, of whom the greater part remain unto this present time, but some are fallen asleep. Some are asleep in the Lord. But when this was written, they could have refuted what was said, if it wasn't true. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. This is what Paul was willing to die for. John 14. We can be thankful for Thomas. A lot of them sort of scoff at Thomas. He was the doubter. How many times have we doubted, even in our Christian life? Thomas brings to our attention that which we would never have had if we hadn't have asked these questions. In verse 5, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not where thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ that you're saved. And we find next, 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we may be saved. No, we must be saved through the Lord Jesus alone. And then again in Acts, chapter 13. Acts 13, verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, that is, the Lord Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. That which the law could not forgive could be forgiven through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this undoubtedly dumbfounded these people. Now, still in the same book, turn to the 17th chapter. Verse 30. In the times of this ignorance, God overlooked or winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, concerning which he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead, or out from among the dead. Remember, others were raised, but they died again. Lazarus was raised, but he died again. As some in the Old Testament were raised, but they died again. And the Lord was raised, never died again. You and I, we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Whether we fall asleep and go into the ground, or whether we're here when the Lord comes in the rapture, this old body is going to be changed in a moment, and the twinkling of an eye is going to be like himself. You think a roller coaster ride is your thrill. If you think that's fast, our changing this old corruptible body into that incorruptible body will make your head swim. Then another portion in Acts 16. Remember, Paul and Silas had been in the prison, and while they were in the prison, after all of this scourging, they're placing the stocks. What were they doing? Put in the depths of the prison, the worst place you could be. They were singing and praying. It was loud enough, undoubtedly, that all the other prisoners could hear it. But when the earthquake came, and all of the doors were open, and the chains were loosed, they didn't run away. The guard was going to slay himself, because in Roman culture, Roman law, if you are a soldier and you let someone get away from you, you died in his place. So rather than to go through that in the humility, he was about to commit suicide. Paul yelled out to him, "No, don't do it, we're all here." I just wonder how many of the others were saved. Possibly all of them, or at least some of them. But it never says, it doesn't say. Verse 30. Let's go back to verse 29. Paul had just told him to do himself no harm. We're all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in. He came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. He fell down before the prisoners that he had, who had been beaten yet. And the worst of it was they didn't find out till a little later that these two men were Roman citizens. And brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Very possible that this man had heard the gospel. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Now, that believe means what? It means to trust and to cleave to a virtue, not just believe in your head. That is belief. I'm afraid there are too many folks out there that come up front and they say, I believe, and you're saved. Not if you haven't trusted the Lord. Got to go from fear. Albert Dolphy used to say 18 inches lower to the heart. We're all sitting in pews except for myself at the moment. We can believe that those pews will hold us. Don't trust it until we sit down on it. We can believe that the Lord Jesus Christ can save us. We don't trust it until we put ourselves in His hands. The moment we put ourselves in His hands, we belong to Him. John 10:27. I know my sheep, and they hear my voice, and they come unto me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. For my Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. In the Father's hand, you can't be plucked out of that. In the Son's hand, you can't be plucked out of that. In another place, we find you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Put His mark on you. Threefold cord is not easily broken. All of the Godhead holds you in their hand. The key is to trust the Lord as Savior. Now that we know of Christ as Savior, what do we do? Sit down and keep it to ourselves? Greatest gift the world has ever known. You know, if somebody gave us $1 million, we'd be outside telling everybody about it. Either that or we'd be hiding for fear the government would come and take taxes on us. Nonetheless, you would be so happy, you'd be bubbling over. All your debts are paid, everything's taken care of. Everything's taken care of by the Lord already. When we leave this place, we'll be in a place that you can't even believe of. And finally, 1 Corinthians 2, I have not seen nor ear heard things that God hath provided to them that love Him. I tell you of a man, I can't remember his name, one of the great men of God. He was so full of joy in his salvation. He's actually making a miserable wreck of it. This sinful body cannot handle the joy that God is going to give. Sinner, unsaved sinner, couldn't live in heaven. He would tear him to pieces. He couldn't handle the joy that those people had. We're going to have perfect bodies like the Lord's, that we can get, be capable of handling it. But this dear brother got down on his knees and actually asked God to take some of the joy away from him. And when he did, the man's physical health became better. He was just constantly bubbling over with the joy that God had given him. You know, you and I should be bubbling over with some of that. They just tell everybody we come in contact with. How many times we're in a place, well, maybe this isn't the right place. Maybe a little later. Maybe another time. If you ever think you might never have another time. The Lord hasn't promised you or me another moment, another heartbeat, let alone those people that are lost. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Nothing to play with. And then we should be a little more earnest when it comes to the tracks out there gradually going down. You know, some have a number of tracks of their own. But you have all kinds of tracks to use. Put them in your payments. When you write somebody, stick a track in there. Even if they're saved, you might be able to pass it on to someone that isn't saved. Certainly, you read those tracts many times, and it encourages us. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank You above all for that wonderful man that came from heaven's glory. Came up for one purpose, to become our substitute, to take our place. that we might live in eternity with Almighty God. Actually, we will be made part of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Part of the Godhead. What a wonder. We who at one time were so far off from the Lord, and even at our very best, we find ourselves slipping and falling and becoming cold at times and indifferent. Is the thought spoken, the ear read, it affects the hearts of speaker and hearer alike, that we might be more like unto our Lord, our hearts might be filled with joy to the point that we want to tell others, rather than keeping it all within. And again, we think of our dear brother Clark, in conscious up in St. John's, New Brunswick, Canada, 88 years old. And we know that his desire is to go on with the Lord, to put him on life support. Now we hear that life support has been taken away. We don't know what has taken place since. We pray for him, we pray for the family and loved ones, the Cornelius family, we think of the Perry family, we think of the Hubbard, the Kellys, we think of those that have been laid aside of illness, some that have been laid aside for quite some time. We ask that thou would comfort, sustain all, if they are ill, that they might be raised up, sorrowing that sorrow might be taken from them. These things we ask in his name and for his sake.